Coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Hey everybody, Norm Bourque from the home office at Rideau Carlton Raceway. One of the tracks that had participated in the experiment with the new encouragement rules. They are now in effect. We've heard the side of the Ontario Racing Commission. Now we're going to the Ontario Harness Horse Association side. And with me on the other end of my line is their president, Daryl MacArthur. Daryl, welcome.
Hi, Norm. Great to be here again.
Well, it's good to have you here to give OHA's take on the new encouragement rules. Why is OHA against the current policy?
I'd like to state first and foremost that as an organization, we are absolutely not against any change. Where we come down on is how that change comes about, and is it a change for the sake of just making a change? How do we make sure that these changes are being implemented fairly? And also, if there's going to be impacts to the financial side of the business, because as we know, that it does come down to the dollars. And where most of my concerns, it's exactly that. How the rules being implemented, how are those changes potentially going to affect the revenue, the bottom line, and a fairness issue across the board.
You've identified in our previous discussions three areas that you think would be of disadvantage to the harness people. One, the fact that a lot of the American jurisdictions do not have this rule in effect. Two, the rules as applied are not even between the harness and the thoroughbred side. Three, that it might drive bettors away if they're seeing or perceiving that because drivers cannot freehand whip or encourage, that they're somehow stiffing and that they'd rather go to a Meadowlands.
Well, those points, absolutely, Norm. Those are three of the key areas where as my role as the president of OHA, I have concerns, and my positions come specifically to from the standardbred side, and in this case, a lot of it has to do with the drivers. And you know, the biggest issue that we have as an organization, I guess you could say, is it does come down on the signs of the fines and penalties. The fines are for thoroughbreds and standardbreds are the same. It's an equal progression on the monetary side. Where the largest discrepancy comes down is on the suspension side. And for example, on the thoroughbred side of things, the first offense there's no days awarded. On the second offense, it's 1 day, and for a third offense, it's 3 days. On the drivers for the standardbred side, the first offense is 3 days, the second offense is 5 days, and the third offense is a 15-day offense. And why such a disparity? The dollars, they're commensurate, 200 each side, 300 each side, and 500 each side for first, second, and third. Right now, we're fortunate enough to have some of the top drivers in the world here, and a lot of those drivers do go to the B circuit, get to the B track, and unfortunately something happens, and a judge rules that there's been a violation, whereas before, minimum fines did not require a suspension of days. Well, now the minimum driving suspension for a first offense is 3 days. So faced with that, can I still take the risk of going and racing at the B tracks, but knowing full well that, heck, I get my first time, I'm sitting out 3 days, I may be missing my assignments at WEG. Certainly, by the time it gets up to my third offense, I'm out 15 days. Sticking at the WEG circuit or going for sire stake events exclusively to the smaller tracks is a concern that I have.
Oh, okay, but again, the rules are going to be applied by the judges, we assume, fairly evenly, regardless of the track. Secondly, can't these things be appealed? So if a Jameson has, say, a big race coming up in 2 days and he gets a 3-day suspension, he can't appeal that, can he not?
Well, for sure. Appeals are still a part of the process. And to that point, people who, if you're a driver and you have scheduled starts, typically the administration works around that. Now, where we come from, and I believe Mr. Sealing spoke to it yesterday, Norm, that they do not want to take all of these decisions out of the hands of the judges.
And correct.
He did refer to the judges as the de facto referees of our sport.
Right.
Well, as we know, rules are open for interpretation. And because of the change to the rules, and there's been a drastic change to the application of the encouragement device, as we call it now, there's been a major change to the way the whipping can be done. Not aside from just the, you know, two hands in one line, no longer a one-handed whipping. There's also the fact that the whip is supposed to be at a 90-degree angle to the track before the application of the whip. So it used to be a driver could be sitting back in the hole and coming out of the hole, he could go in one motion from the whip over the shoulder to an application of the whip. Well, under the new rules, that would be a violation. Loose lining, as they refer to, because of the cut down on the one-handed whipping, less aggressive encouragement, you'll see that there is a lot of the drivers trying to encourage with a pushing action with the horses, yeah, with the lines to try to encourage them that way. Well, according to the new rules, that would be a violation, as that would be considered an indiscriminate action as a right. loose lining.
Let me go back to the loose lining issue. I mean, my understanding is, look, when you loose line, number one, you're putting yourself in danger because you don't have complete control of the horse. And if you do loose line, it gives you a reason to, as it were, cheat, because effectively you can freehand whip when you've got a really loose line on a horse, which defeats the spirit of the regulation.
Well, I think when you look at the actual trial periods we went through, Norm, the rules that were in place for the trial period absolutely have not been carried forward to this rule, and there's been drastic changes to the rule book since that trial period occurred. We went through the trial period for the reason it was recognized that we needed to see how this went. After the trial period, if there were changes that needed to be made, and our position is obviously the feeling was that they wanted to see changes made, there should have been, okay, trial period 1, let's do trial period 1.1. The new rule came in, and it was the trial period plus an additional set of rules and regulations.
Yeah, they went from loose lining to both hands in the handholds, basically.
They went from, you needed to have both hands in the handholds, but the driving, the application of the encouragement was the same as it had historically been, aside from not being able to one hand apply the whip. The biggest change since then has been all of the new changes of the whip needs to be at 90 degrees. When you say loose lining, if you take it in its purest interpretation, that, to me, would mean any time the lines are loose on a horse,
yep,
that could potentially be a fine. That
now,
could be
let's get serious. So, Darrell, yep, with all due respect, we're talking about coming down the lane, the horse is getting tired, the driver is loose lining, and I'll tell you something else. I've seen instances. You've got a horse coming from the 7-hole on a half-mile track. You need to get him out there in a hurry. I saw one driver in particular leave the gate loose lining, which in and of itself has got to be dangerous, and allowing her right hand, in this case it was a she, to, in effect, freehand whip the horse. So, I mean, Is it a problem for OHA to have the ban on loose lining, and why?
Part of the reason that the drivers originally wanted to be able to one-hand whip was when you do that, you do have the lines in one hand and they are in full control. They are tight. You do have full control of the horse. Where we're coming from is, you know, there's been some major changes here, some drastic changes. And this is for the public, for the betting public as well. This
let's
is going
to
be a major
that.
Change
yeah,
for
let's
them.
Let's go to that, because one of the things you point out that is a concern is that because of the new whipping rules, let's call them what they are, the new whipping rules, because of them, the diehard handicappers are going to go and put their money down, and some of them have already said as much, on U.S. products. Do you really think that's going to be the case? Because after all, if all the guys are coming down the lane at Woodbine, and they've got their hands in the handholds, and they're using the encouraging device to the satisfaction of the ORC. Aren't they on a level playing field?
From the perspective of a handicapper, and again, I'm basically I'm taking information that and the concerns that have been expressed to me, and if I'm watching a race, Meadowlands, for example, and I've made my bet, and I'm sitting, you know, my tri-actor and the first two are looking good, but I got a guy sitting six at the head of the lane, and down he comes, and he's been encouraged historically as we have, and he gets up for third. I'm a happy handicapper. I know the horse has tried his hard, and he looks great, and up he comes, and I win. That's great. On the flip side, our concern is that watching the same race now at Woodbine, same scenario, the horse doesn't get up. Let's say he gets beat half a length. The handicapper's standing there thinking, well, wait a second, what just happened? I've bet on this product. It's been a positive event for me. And it looks like I've been educated that that's what the drivers do to encourage their horse. Mm-hmm. Now I'm over here to Woodbine, made my bet, and it doesn't look like the same level of encouragement was permitted. Do I think I'm getting as good a return for my investment? Are there more factors at play here now? Potentially are there horses that may not try quite as hard? Is it because it's new to them? They're not used to it. All these different scenarios.
Let's segue from that to the next question, which I posed at the very beginning, because I think the two go hand in hand. The perception that these handicappers are going to go away, twofold. Number one, part of the reason for the rules is because the image of the sport has taken such a hit, and it's keeping perhaps the newbies from coming a second time, especially when they're trackside and they see and hear the encouragement. And let's face it, I mean, I'm just looking at this as a guy who loves the sport, and I just want what's best for the sport, like we all do. We're trying to bring new people to the game. the handicappers, the diehards, let's face it, they're at the top end of the demographic from an age standpoint. Mother Nature is going to determine that we're going to run out of those guys. And then what are we left with? And secondly, and I guess I am engaging in a debate, Daryl, but I do this with all due respect because I have a lot of respect for you. Secondly,
as I do you, Norm,
if we don't do something about it, the PETAs are going to do it for us.
Where we come down and where I come down as the president of OHA, it's concerns that I have for how this has been implemented and how it's going to affect our members and the perception of the fans to it. 42% of the product from the harness side that's bet at Woodbine, we'll use Woodbine for example, mm-hmm. I think it's a fairly good benchmark, comes as foreign simulcast,
right.
42% of it. So close to half of the product that I can bet on at WEG is now going to have a different encouragement structure and a set of rules than what the domestic product is. Our encouragement rules on the thoroughbred side have not been as dramatic a change compared to the rest of the industry as on the standardbred side. Those are the kind of things that give me reason to pause and say, is this something that perhaps there should have been a little more discussion, there should have been some studies done potentially on the economics of just to see what would happen.
Okay, well, to that, and just in closing, again, it goes back to the fact that, look, we got to get new people in. The handicappers are going to bet, and my gut feeling is they're going to bet, period. But, you know, it's interesting. When we had the experiment at Rideau-Carlton Raceway, the first race under that experiment yielded a 5-horse win photo. So, you know, but then again, that was when they were allowed to still loose line. So I can see your point. This is going to be something I've got a feeling you and I are going to discuss in the very near future. But, you know, Daryl, I appreciate your viewpoint on this, and you're just trying to do what's right by your membership, as I'm sure the commission is trying to do what's right as well, not just for the horsemen, but for the betting public and the horses in general. We'll talk very soon.
Thanks so much, Norm. Take care.
And that'll do it for this edition of Trot Radio, a presentation of Standardbred Canada in cooperation with Board Communications.